All right. We've now been joined by our race winner, who I don't believe needs any introduction. We've been joined by Carson Hosevar. Carson, I won't go too deep into an opening question because I really just want to get to your thoughts. But just talk a little bit about, you know, what today means to you, but really what the last couple hours have felt like from your vantage point.
Well, I just never been at the Cup track this long. I didn't know media people stay this long, to be honest. So this is new to me. So, no, it's just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I've been no secret, obviously, of being a Dale Jr. fan. So, you know, just watching him win so many races here, you know, I obviously feel like I've put a lot of emphasis on the super speedways. And ever since the 500, I felt like we were going to have a shot at this one. We had a shot at both of these last year and felt like I was not owed, but I've had a lot get taken away, I feel like, from out of my control, that at some point the racing gods were going to give me a little bit something. So, just, yeah, I mean, I literally posted on Instagram. I remember driving, and it just kind of clicked in my head. I was like, I really think we're going to win. And, you know, I posted it and risked getting clowned. Yeah, it just worked out, I guess. Yeah, I was so confident in our group.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go to questions. I know we have a few. To kick us off, I'm going to start with Jeff Gluck.
I'm sure the win is going to be cool, but like people from many years from now will be talking about your celebration. So can you take us through how long have you planned this? How did you do that? What was that?
Well, it wasn't clean by any means. It took me a while. I don't know if the TV saw it, but I felt like I was really close to the inside wall, and I did not have that steering wheel on, so I was panicking for a second. But I've dreamt about that in the off season. You know, I just wanted to have something that, you know, just was meaningful for me, and I feel like I mean, obviously being a junior fan, I remember that iconic clip from, I think it was 2014 when he won the 500. I was there, but I remember he was inside the car, you know, went helmet off and enjoying the fans going backwards. And, but the fans, they don't really get to know if they hear him or see him and everything. And so I had thought of just like, man, I have really long legs. I wonder if I can hit the throttle and you know, sit on the door and ride. And, you know, just kind of see everybody. Like, I just wanted them to get as loud as possible, and I felt like they would if they could see me seeing them. And ultimately, I just wanted to make sure I soak it in. I soaked every bit of it in. And I think I could tell you what everybody was wearing, where every seat was, where every 77 shirt was. I think I could have pointed it all out to you because I remember it so clearly right now. And that means more than anything else to me. It's just that none of this has been a blur. I could tell you exactly from just off turn four that I thought it was just like I have it to right now. I could tell you every second.
So you were basically like standing up?
No, so I was sitting on the door and I had my left foot. So what I had to do is I couldn't twist my foot around with the steering wheel on to drop the clutch. So I had to drop the clutch with the wheel off. I dropped the clutch. Sorry, Steve. So, all right, perfect. I told him a while ago, he should have came CEO a long time ago. It worked out really well for me in this change. I'm superstitious. Can you re-announce it next week, too, if you don't mind? So I had the wheel off. I dropped the clutch, and I was hustling to get the wheel on. I got the wheel on, turned around, and so it just kind of just idled for me. And then as I felt more comfortable riding on the door, I was just kind of moving the steering wheel a little bit. It stayed straight, and then I started giving it gas, and then that's how I did it. And then I was really worried about how I was going to hit the wall and do the burnout against it, but it wasn't that hard of a hit, and just burned it down because I wanted to just at least burn it down next to the deal. But that was the biggest thing, is it took me a while to figure out how to do it. But once I did it, I haven't had a phone. I haven't seen anything. Hopefully it was cool.
All right, we're going to go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Some drivers would not try to think of a celebration because they feel like they jinx themselves by thinking about it. What is it about you that has been planning this for months?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just one idea, and I was just like, man, that's a good idea. I got to remember that. I got to remember to do that. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, I've lost a lot of these and known how bad it sucks to lose. And the biggest thing is I just wanted to take it all in. Like, I didn't want to ever get done with the burnout and say, man, I wish I could just do the burnout. And, yeah, I was just like, they're going to be on my time whether I'm out here burning it down for an hour. I mean, I'm glad it took me like 10 minutes or, you know, just like a minute. But for me, it felt like an hour out there trying to figure it out. But, yeah, I was just going to take all the time I wanted to and enjoy it. And, you know, I felt like it was an if, not when. So I felt like I, you know, wasn't jinxing myself. I was just, you know, kind of just putting the confidence in it. I knew we were going to do it at some point, and I knew we were going to do it pretty soon.
And as you said, you've lost some of these. Why did you win this one today? Why did you make the right moves and none of the wrong ones?
I just feel like you gotta, I mean, the cliche is you gotta lose some to win some. And there were a lot of times where I felt like we got taken out leading or up front, and I didn't even know if we were gonna make the right move or not. And I felt like there was a lot of days last year that we were good enough to win. I didn't even get to the end to see if I was gonna lose or win. So I just wanted a few more shots, and obviously the 500, you know, I think I've ran that back about 1,000 times in my head, and was pretty confident the next super speedway I went to, that other than Atlanta, but you know, big super speedway we went to, that we were gonna do it and take it back.
All right, Jay, did you have a question?
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. Carson, you've been a NASCAR fan, obviously, from way back. So surely you have imagined what it's like to win a race, to go to victory lane, and all that. How did reality match up to your dreams?
I mean, it's just everything I thought of. Yeah, just means a lot. I mean, just to see how excited everybody was on my team. You know, it just takes a lot to race at this level and everything. And it really does mean the world. And, you know, I've dreamt about this, and it feels like I'm really living the dream that I dreamt and thought of and daydreamed and everything in between. And but now it's all like getting clear. Like, everything was kind of blurry. I didn't know the faces. I didn't know what it was all going to look like, but now it's just kind of all cleared out. And, you know, it's just all the bodies are there. And, you know, now I just have faces to put it to and reactions and everything.
All right, Dalton.
Hey, Carson, Dalton Hopkins at the Front Stretch. You said that you've played back the final lap of the Daytona 500 plenty of times. Three-lap restart with three laps to go, was that in your mind then?
Yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah, I feel like I visualized winning ever since we rolled on off pit road with 40 to go, really. And, you know, there's a lot of times I've visualized what it's going to feel like and everything. And then I stop myself and say, no, I gotta stop. Like, you know, I'm getting too far ahead. And for whatever reason today, I never said that. Like, I just kept thinking about it. Every caution, I literally thought about that, like, we are gonna win, and what it's gonna feel like after, and what I'm gonna do, and what it's gonna be like. I literally just thought it, and the whole time. And, you know, maybe I should have just started doing that a while ago. I shouldn't have stopped myself, and we would have maybe won. But yeah, just. I was just so confident, realistically. I thought these super speedways are, you know, reward the best team right now. And I really do think we have one of the best teams that executes on all levels. And if we hit it right, I think we're always up front. So I there was never a doubt in my mind.
And a quick follow-up. Have you heard from Cletus yet?
No, I haven't had my phone. So I'm sure. I mean, I was pumped that he ran second and had a shot to win. I mean, they really would have burned it down if we both won. So. But, yeah, how awesome. Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk to him.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. Is there any other team in this garage beyond Spire that would let you grow up the way that you have, as publicly, and all the blemishes along the way? Is there any other organization that would let you do it and do it as, I think Luke called you, unapologetically yourself?
Well, you know Jeff, and, you know, his whole company lets Jeff be Jeff, so he's got to let me be me. I think that's just the best way to put that. Like, yeah, there's a reason that I love him and I love everything. And the reason everybody's coming into the building is because of him. You know, and Dan Towers and Cassidy and everybody to allow Jeff to run the show basically on getting the best cars and people and everything. He's told me 1,000 times that you just got to let myself, you know, see if the burner's hot and see if I burn my hand, I'll figure it out eventually. And yeah, I took 91 races to figure that out. So I'm just so happy it was him climbing through the window to congratulate us.
First win, you're top 10 in points.
Are we? Holy shit.
I think so, yeah. Unofficially. If I'm wrong, so call me out on it. Yeah, 8th.
Damn, I was pissed. We didn't get stage points at stage one. I don't feel bad anymore.
So
I was so mad.
With that in mind, I mean, what is the ceiling this year? And do you feel like that you are on the trajectory that you kind of mapped out for yourself where you should be each year along the way?
I do. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like it's crazy to say. I feel like I've been reliving the same trajectory as my Cup 3 years, and this has felt almost a similar, you know, same sort of team, you know, level and everything when I was first walking in, and it just felt like I was watching, you know, I watched Nice grow up and get to where it was when we started winning races, and you know, now I'm at Spire at the different level. That's what I just kept telling myself, is just if everything just felt so familiar, I just moved garages and, you know, reset the career mode basically, and or season or whatever on the video game. Is, you know, Jeff and I always joke about that, you know, we're in the video game, you know, like I was, when you're a kid, you might have the custom car racing up there with, you know, most of the time the easy level is pretty low, but yeah, just, you're just in the video game, and that's what, and we finally did it today, so it's so cool.
Real fast, Dickerson says one more win this year. He's letting you race Tulsa.
Yes, he did say that. It's on the record, by the way. So, yes, PR shake. Heather's shaking her head. Yes, that's. I need one more. So,
I'll be there.
Perfect. Well, we'll just do it next week. Sure.
You already have the hat, so.
I know, it's perfect.
You're one step ahead there. Okay, Lee, go ahead with your question.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. You told me in Victory Lane you felt like the weight of the world had been lifted from your shoulders, but the way Jeff sees it, you know, he wants to make you the centerpiece of Spire. He thinks that you can be a champion in 2 years. I mean, not a lot of pressure, Carson, but you just seem to kind of roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, do everything they're doing and then, you know, number one, be shocked if it happens, or two, be, you know, not confident in it, because, you know, when they're hiring people or convincing sponsors to spend more money or convincing Dan to spend more money or whatever, you have to actually believe it yourself. Otherwise, you're just selling nothing, really. Like, I mean, if you don't believe it, nobody else is going to, so... I think that's why, I mean, Jeff truly believes we can make a championship organization out of this. And, you know, that's why we're all here. That's why we're all living it. And, you know, because we believe it ourselves. You know, this isn't a shock to any of us. You know, we say all the time, I mean, everybody says they want to win, but we truly believe ourselves.
Does his belief, though, help your confidence?
Yeah, I mean, we're each other's heroes almost in that. Like, when he gets down on himself, I tell him to go watch sprint cars. And when I get down on myself, he tells me to go watch dirt late models. And then we go talk about cup racing after. But, yeah, it's just so fun.
All right. We are going to go to... Go ahead. Thank you, Steph.
This is probably a little before your time, but I don't know if you're a religious man or if you watch The Office at all, but could you... coming out of turn four, could you feel God in that Chili's car tonight?
A little bit, for sure. I mean, I'm starving. I really could use Chili's right now, if I'm going to be honest. But, yeah, I mean, I love The Office. So that's, I mean, literally, I just felt like 1,000 pounds laid off me. And I think I don't even remember if it keyed up. I mean, I probably were all keying up, but I was just yelling. I was so happy.
All right, Carson, hang on just a second. We have someone who called in to ask you a question.
All right, you can go ahead.
brother, it's Cleet. I'm so proud of you, buddy. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Dude, you drive that thing to the front every weekend. I knew it was coming. I knew you were going to do it. You drove your tail off. Great job. We're all so proud of you, man. Great job.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Cleus. I hope you were jumping on the wall or wherever the hell you were, but I hope you were jumping up like I was yesterday. You're gonna win one soon.
I was screaming, and then the burnout, immaculate, brother, immaculate. You did it for Dale.
Dude, I just realized I literally did this celebration on riding on the door at La Mullet's. So where I thought of it. I literally did. Hey, oh my God.
You're the man, dude. Great job. Congratulations.
Thanks, Cleet. Appreciate it, brother.
See you, buddy.
God, I'm such an idiot. Right. I forgot about that. I literally did that.
We're going to continue with questions.
That's what I thought of it.
And we'll go to Steven here in the front.
Steven Toronto, NASCAR pole position. Carson, I don't know if you could hear it from your car before you got out and stood on the door, but almost instantaneously, the crowd just popped off, went berserk when you took the checkered flag. And, you know, you were a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan growing up. You know how the crowd reacted to Dale and, you know, how the crowd reacted to Cletus yesterday and how you only get that level of noise and enthusiasm for a select group of people. Why do you think it is that you connect with the fans, and like not just fans online, not just fans, you know, in this or that other group, but why do you think you connect so much with the fans in general to the level that that it elicits that type of reaction?
I don't know. I'm just me, and you know, maybe people are, you know, a lot of race fans, they probably always dream of racing, so maybe they get to vicariously live through me because I'm online a lot, or you know, I'm in the stands or anything. But you know, truly, you know, I'm just me. I'm not playing a character. I'm not acting for anybody. And but I just know how much, you know, those race fans mean. You know, it means a lot. You know, I feel like in racing, there's a lot of times there isn't the buzzer beater moment or, you know, whatever. You know, it's just a long marathon that, you know, a lot of times doesn't get that crowd pop. And here, that obviously shows up a lot because there's a lot of different moving parts. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of pictures and videos, but if there's a video of how loud the crowd got, that's going to be the one that I cry to and, you know, just enjoy it. Like, that's what means the most to me. It's just that people spent money to be here, and I did something that, you know, got them to yell and cheer or throw something, and that'll be the coolest thing.
When was the first time you heard the crowd? Was it like that first trip for the trial before
the first trip backwards? But I really heard them. I really heard them when I was, you know, on the door. So, you know, I think they got louder, you know, when I sat on the door and everything. And I'm just so happy I did that.
Gotcha. Me and a lot of other people got videos of it, so you'll have plenty to enjoy. Congratulations, Carson.
I'm gonna be on my phone all night watching this stuff.
All right, Morgan, I'm going to go behind you. I'm going to go to Michael Massey and then to Chris. Go ahead, Michael.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. Carson, you talk about, you know, being a Dale Jr. fan and, you know, watching the celebrations and stuff like that. Just growing up, you know, a kid as a fan of the sport, what do you think about the idea that, like, there's a kid watching today, that watched today, that, you know, that's you're who they're going to base what they're trying to do on their racing career on? Maybe even they end up racing against you someday.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the coolest thing. I'm just going to say it's the coolest thing because, I mean, it really is. It just means so much to me that, you know, like it's just going to be a really full circle moment for me. You know, hopefully in 20, 30 years, I'm, you know, and, you know, there's a picture of me next to, you know, some kid in the grandstands or somewhere, and now I'm racing them, and then I feel old and everything, and I'll probably be mad at how they race and everything because I'll be old and washed up, but But no, it means a lot. You know, it's gonna be the coolest thing. So, you know, races like this, you know, hopefully propels that length of years a long time.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Carson, Chris Gallen with Above the Yellow Line Media. First of all, congratulations. I wanted to go back to the window ride celebration a little bit there. It's kind of a two-parter. So first of all, are you aware of the parallel to Dale Earnhardt in 1986 sitting on the windshield?
When he washed the windshield.
Cleaning the windshield, yeah. Was that intentional?
No, I didn't even think of that till now. But no, I didn't even think of that till now. I just really wanted them to see me. Like, you know, when I'm in the car, they, you know, they're not really, especially at high up, you know, they don't know that I could see them. But, you know, if I'm literally looking and pointing at them, it's pretty obvious.
And then also I wanted to ask, is there any chance we might see this become like a signature celebration, or you think maybe we might see it banned before you get the chance to do it again?
I don't know, Steve, is it banned? Perfect. Bookmark it then.
Thanks, Carson. Congrats.
Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. Logan, did you have a question, I believe, with your hand? There you go.
Hey, Logan Busby, Birmingham Sports Media. How does it feel? Obviously, you're already in the history of Talladega winning, but as we've talked about at length tonight, that celebration, you are going to be, from now on, every single Talladega race, you are going to be in those clips, those commercials, those highlights, those greatest moments. How does it feel not only getting this win here, but adding to the history and becoming a mascot, you know, for Talladega at this point?
I mean, that's going to be so cool for me. Like, I mean, that's the stuff I dream about. Like, you know, anytime I'm at a racetrack and there's history on the wall, like, I remember the driver's meeting. There was a picture of me walking out at Martinsville, like, for 0.1 seconds. I was like, oh, my God, I made the driver's meeting, or the hype reel for whatever was happening today, whatever on the driver's meeting day. So I was like, oh, my God, I made it for, like, 0.1 seconds. So, yeah, I think about that stuff all the time. I want to, you know, do well enough to, you know, be a part of that.
All right, we're going to go to John here.
Johnny with FanBus. So I asked Luke's his perspective on this as a grizzled veteran. As a young driver, when you guys are dealing with so many gut punches over the last couple of years, just mechanical failures, all that different stuff, what is it that keeps you guys pushing forward, not getting angry at each other, not just throwing your hands up in frustration? Is it just that overall confidence? What else is it?
Well, I just think we had so much faith in each other. Like, you know, it's not the human factor that, you know, we weren't winning. It's, you know, parts or little things that we could fix. And, you know, everybody on our road crew is the same as before I walked in. You know, the car that was 33rd in owner's points when I was walking into it, it's all the same. Like, the only thing that changed is crew chief, spotter, driver. And, you know, we had an engineer too, but like nobody left, and nobody's left since I walked in on that car, and nobody's left since. So it means a lot for me in terms of, like, I must not be hard to deal with or too hard, that none of them left, but they all believe in each other. And we've had so much faith in each other that I don't think we've ever pointed a finger at any of us. We just have always said that we could just get our cars better, or we can communicate better, or we can, you know, go to pit practice more, or we can, it doesn't matter. We were going to take care of it.
All right, and we will wrap here. Go ahead.
Hey, Carson, congratulations. Jared Bates, WNSP Mobile. Two for you real quick. In Victory Lane, you mentioned your grandparents and that relationship. Tell us a little bit about what that win meant for you and for your family.
Yeah, it meant a lot. You know, I've never really lost a family member, so it was difficult for you know, all of us really to lose my grandma. And she you know, grandpa stayed around, and you know, it's funny, like it's the first day she's gone, you know, just loves her so much. And you know, it just means a lot that, you know, I you know, you never know how long they're gonna last, you know, after the first one, right? It seems like that comes up very fast, especially with how much they rely on one another. And you know, I wasn't gonna say that the time was clicking, but it, you know, the days weren't getting any younger, and I just really, really wanted to watch, you know, make sure my grandpa got to see it.
Also, Chili's, your sponsor. When's that celebratory trip coming, and what's the order going to be?
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I don't drink, but I'll have a Presidente, I guess, now. But yes. Oh, it's sweet. Oh, there we go. Good, because I'm starving, so that's perfect. No, I'm excited. I'm gonna have to apologize to them after why there's burnout marks in in front of the Chili's, but yeah, I'm just gonna get everything on the menu. They can afford it, so I'm so excited.
I'm not sure the Mooresville Chili's has ever quite seen what's headed its way, but Carson, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Congratulations on your win, and I hope you have a chance to enjoy this one.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. It means a lot.